Saret, near the shores of the rivers. Sarasu, and near the lakes. Shaileshu, near the mountains. Veneshu, in the forests. Upavaneshu, in the gardens or small forests. Cha, also. Yatra, wherever. Kva, anywhere. Cha, also. Asan, we're existing. Rishiyaha, great sages. Tatra, there. Sanikitaha, was present. Hadaha, Lord Shiva. Translation, following Mohini, Lord Shiva went everywhere, near the shores of the rivers and lakes, near the mountains, near the forests, near the gardens, and wherever there lived great sages. I can repeat, following Mohini, Lord Shiva went everywhere, near the shores of the rivers and lakes, near the mountains, near the forests, near the gardens, and wherever there live great sages. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Gijad. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that Mohini Murti dragged Lord Shiva to so many places, especially to where the great sages lived, to instruct the sages that there Lord Shiva had become mad for a beautiful woman. Thus, although they were all great sages and saintly persons, they should not think themselves free, but should remain extremely cautious about beautiful women. No one should think himself liberated in the presence of a beautiful woman. The Shastras enjoin, Matra swashradu hitrava navivikashano bhavet balavan indriya gramo vidvangsam apikarshati. One should not stay in a solitary place with a woman, even if she be his mother, sister, or daughter, for the senses are so uncontrollably powerful that in the presence of a woman, one may become agitated, even if he is very learned and advanced. It's from the Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 19th chapter, text 17. Okay. So that sarasu shailesu vaneshu pavaneshu cha yatra kva chasan rishayas tatra sani kitu haraha. So, Om Gana Timirandasha Gadanjana Shlakaya Chakshura Minitam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, there's a lot to say about this particular verse and purport. First of all, let's talk about why the attraction is so strong. And the reason it is so strong is explained by Krishna in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. This material world is a reflection of the spiritual realm. And just like the banyan tree reflected on the river or the lake or the body of water, where the branches are down and the roots are up, this material world is such. So if you take the spiritual world, for example, you'll see that Krishna is very much bewildered by Radharani. For example, there's one story where Krishna looks at Radharani, and instead of milking a cow, he starts milking a bull. That's pretty bewildered. You didn't ever try that, did you?
I've seen it
try. People don't know about cows, they do that.
Well, some
boy was being funny. But that's pretty far.
An ox,
yeah. I'd be careful about a bull. You may get a taste of his horns if you do that. So Krishna gets so bewildered, and Krishna's always trying to please Radharani. Like Radharani, one of her qualities is she always keeps Krishna what? Wrapped around her little finger. So poor Krishna. Even though he's God, he's controlling everything, he's controlled by this lady. of course, by her devotion, like that. And so, anyway, there's many stories, and Krishna has to, when she gets angry at him, which Krishna likes, incidentally, Krishna has to go and bow down at her feet, like Jayadeva Goswami, he writes about that in the Gita Govinda. I mean, he couldn't believe it, and he wasn't going to write it down. He just thought about it and said, you know, I got to take a bath. And he comes back, and he finds that Krishna has written that particular verse in the Gita Govinda. So, wow, what's happening with God? Well, God is controlled by devotion. Krishna is controlled. That's one of the qualities of pure devotion. You can also control Krishna, not that you should want to, but that's one of the qualities of pure devotion. So then we have the reflection of the material world where the imitation gods, Ishwaroham, Ahambhogi, Sinoham, Balavan Sukhi, that means us, we're imitation gods. Every man is the king of his castle, so to speak, the god of his home. Ishwaroham, I'm controlled, perfect, powerful, happy, etc. Then we have a similar type of understanding that we're running after our sense. And of course, Prabhupada said, for the man, woman is Maya, and for the woman, the man is Maya. Okay, so it's not, we're equal. We're not taking positions on this, you know, that it's going to aggravate anyone. Nunam pramata kurate. So many verses, kurate vikarma yanindriya paritirapinoti. When one considers the senses to be very dear, important, then one gets pramada, mad. And even you find that I've mentioned many times before, the one is in love, then it's like taking cocaine as far as the brain scan is concerned. Okay, so enough of that. Enough of my sannyas class. So what's the solution? Okay, so I was just reading about one very nice solution that they have in Greece for this particular attraction. It's called Mount Athos. Anyone heard of Mount Athos before? Yeah. So Mount Athos is a really ecstatic place in Greece. It's like an island where they have monasteries and no women are allowed. Not only are no women allowed, this is really interesting, but if any woman happens to go there without, of course, there's no question of getting permission, guess what? 1 year in jail. 1 year in jail. You poor ladies. So the ladies should also have Mount Amazon, too, where they keep the men away. So to keep the men in jail. So is that a solution? And I'm going to tell you it's not a solution. Because Maya, your attraction to sense objects, it's all right. Sometimes it gets overloaded, that's why it goes off. Sometimes, so the sense objects, it's in the mind and in the heart. And there's not only the man-woman attraction, there's other attractions in this material world. And it's very difficult to overcome these attractions. And the negation of the sense objects, not just men, women stuff, but the negation of the sense objects is the opposite side of the coin of attraction. So if you're living in a place where, you know, women are not prohibited, probably, you know, I'm not reading the mind of those poor monks there, but probably, you know, you're thinking about, this is a great place, women are not allowed. And you're thinking about it. And you're thinking a negative. And when you think in a negative, there's a problem. I'm not saying they're all thinking like that. It's actually funny, too. They also watch TV, but I'm not going to tell them. Another thing they do there is they don't even allow female animals. Did you know that? There's a prohibition about female. There's only one exception. Cats they allow because they don't like rats. So there's a prohibition for female animals. However, in other words, no cows, no chickens. However, what they do is they drink milk and they eat eggs. So where do the milk and the eggs come from? They import them. So they're not associated with a female animal. Imagine. I mean, you're in real trouble if you look at a cow and you start
start to fall into mind. Isn't it? I mean, if you look at a cow, I think of Krishna. Vicious. Oh, yeah. Well, that was because he committed an offense. Yeah. That was Shobhari Muni. I know the women. They just like some kind of electronic device that keeps the women showing up on TV. Anyway, it's Maya's in the mind. You know, Maya means that which is not. So that's not really the solution. To live in Mount Athos or join the Radha Damodar party. Because of course, there was that example in New York, not Radha Damodar party, where the brahmacharis would not let the ladies chant japa in the temple room. I remember it was in Henry Street. Anyone, you been to Henry Street temple? It's a thin temple room. I mean, you've got to give them some sort of credit, but it's a very thin temple room, like, I guess we're less than half the width of this temple room, but it was long. It was actually less space in the temple room than we have here in the New York temple. It was a blissful temple. You know, all sorts of blissful devotees were there. Jagvedi Maharaj was there. So many nice devotees. So I remember going to the temple one time. It's an interesting story. The reason I went to the temple was Prabhupada was there. And I was in Los Angeles, and I convinced my father that I wanted to see him. And he was in New York. So pay for my ticket. So he paid for my ticket, but actually I saw Prabhupada. So it was a trick. So I walked to the temple, Henry Street, and took the subway or something. And all these ladies are outside, you know, regularly hanging on the lampposts, you know, chanting to the do not park signs outside. I said, what's happening? Are there any men in this temple? I thought it was just the ladies' temple. So I walked in. And it was just men in the temple room because they had prohibited all the ladies from chanting japa in the temple room. Of course, when Prabhupada heard that, he said, you know, what is this? They've invented something new. He said, if they really want to avoid ladies, they have to go to the forest, and then in that case, there'll be no preaching. But they can be like that Rishi Sringa story in the Ramayana. Rishi Sringa means there was a sage born with a horn on his head because basically his father, anyway, I'm not going to get into the whole story, but he's a son of a deer, and his father was a sage who didn't like women because the women tried to attract him, etc. So he had never seen a lady in his whole life. And so what happened is not that he was free from desires, just that when some lady came disguised as a brahmachari, she was able to draw him away. He just thought, wow, what a good-looking brahmachari. Please accept my obeisances, he said. And she said, no, we offer hugs. That's our method of offering obeisances. So he was drawn away. And, of course, there's a happy ending to the story because he was the immediate cause of the appearance of Lord Ram. And there's so many other stories about Rishi Sringa there. So it's not a question of just separating men and women. Of course, one does have to be careful, as mentioned here by Srila Prabhupada when quoting from the 9th canto, 19th chapter, text 17. One has to be careful not to be with the opposite sex in a secluded place because there's a chance of agitation. But I'm actually going to give another way of becoming detached. Of course, one still has to be cautious. Of detachment from sense objects. And this is actually a more effective means, and it's based upon what Prabhupada said in a very simple quote. Of course, Prabhupada wasn't the originator of this quote. He said, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. Now I'm going to expand on what I mean by idle mind is a devil's workshop and how not to have an idle mind. I was thinking about this yesterday. Yesterday, of course, was Ekadashi. And I was, I was trying to chant 64 rounds. I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't chant 64 rounds because I have to prepare for the class. I have to schmooze with the people at the breakfast.
I don't know if all of you know what schmoozing is. No, no one knows what schmoozing is. Anyway, that's a Yiddish word. So I had to associate with the people at breakfast, you know, so many other things, some emails and calls. I said, where will I have time for myself today? So basically, you know, Krishna took over against my will. And I did chant 64 rounds, and I did prepare for the Sunday lecture, and I did schmooze and do everything else, but I didn't have a spare moment for anything else, which is pretty nice. And I was thinking, wow, today I engaged full-time in devotional service, and there was no CNN. That's my Maya. You know, looking at what's happening the latest with a particular politician who should remain nameless. So, because, you know, I find it humorous. But it's Maya. What can I say? My particular branch of Maya. So I was thinking, wow, this is so nice. Just be engaged in Krishna's service. Wow, chanting 64 rounds. And it didn't have any trouble getting 64 rounds done either. Didn't have any trouble preparing, making, I actually made up a whole PowerPoint, you know, simple PowerPoint for the Sunday feast. You know, read a little bit, prepared, ate prasadam, cooked for my deities. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I did all these things because there wasn't a spare moment. It's not that I did anything amazing. It's just that I didn't waste any time. So I was actually thinking in the same way that if we want to be free from attraction to the sense objects, that means full-time engagement. So what is full-time engagement? Some of you may not like this particular explanation, so I apologize in advance. So I was thinking, does that mean one has service? And I was thinking, no, it's actually more than that. It's more than just having something to do or a service to do. It involves taking responsibility. Now, there's a difference between having some services and taking responsibility and being responsible for some particular thing, because I was thinking about this in regard to my own life, that because I have these different responsibilities, you know, whether it's, you know, GBC, management, disciples, going down the list, my deities, they have to eat twice a day. Too bad. So the deities have to be bathed every day, eating and decorating them and doing all these things. And so I was thinking about this whole list, that it really helps me push through. I'm not particularly Maya, but like any, let's say if I'm too tired one day, or I got a stomach ache one day, or a headache one day, or someone's aggravated me another day, or it all happens the same day, which Krishna does arrange. As they say, when it rains, it pours. And that means everything happens in one day. Oh my God. So I was thinking that then it just helps me stay engaged in Krishna's service, having responsibility, having knowing that I have to show up. Like if the cat, we're taking care of the cows, the same thing, isn't it? You have to show up. You can't send an excuse to the cows, a doctor's note to the cows in the morning. You know, my dear, for lack of a better word, bossy, you know, the name of a cow. Here's my doctor's excuse. I can't milk you today. And the cow says, okay, take a break. You can't do it. You have to show up. You have to show up. I mean, or if you're the head pujari, or you're the temple president, or you're whatever you are. Anyway, whatever you are, if you have some regulated, not just responsibility, but a regulated responsibility, that keeps you out of mind. And I've experienced that when people don't, in many cases, not every case, they really get into different types of Maya. I mean, there's different varieties of Maya. I mean, if you go to Radha Kund, you'll find so many people who are not fully engaged in devotional service, you know, thinking that they are something
that they are not at this particular juncture. You know, I had one interesting, I mean, I'm not going to mention any names. There was one friend of mine went to Radha Kund, and a lady, very, you know, very enthusiastic, very, but didn't have a service, basically. I don't mind devil's worship. And then what happened is she took shelter as Babaji, and the Babaji recently beat her up because she wouldn't follow the instructions of the Babaji. Now, I'm not criticizing the Babaji. I'm just telling you what happened. What happened? I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just saying the facts, as Sergeant Friday said. Just the facts, ma'am. So, you know, there's an example of idle mind, devil's workshop happening right there. And so then I was thinking about the Goswamis of Vrindavan. I mean, do they have any response? Yes. They were given the great responsibility by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of excavating the holy places, you know, establishing the deity worship, and writing Vaishnava literatures. I mean, they had a schedule. In fact, it's described that their schedule, their sadhana, their schedule was like lines on a stone. In other words, they were more self-regulating. Many of us, we need some situation where other people are dependent on us on a daily basis, or the deities are dependent on us on a daily basis, or whatever, so that we can be regulated from an external thing. But the Goswamis, they actually were self-regulated. And of course, it's not that they had a tendency to be in Maya or anything, but we're talking about, right now we're talking about conditioned souls like, you know, my good self or bad self, that do have a tendency to do other things other than devotional service. So the point I'm making is that it's extremely important to have some responsibility in the Krishna consciousness movement, because I've seen time and time again people going, and sometimes people say, well, I mean, I was just speaking to one of my friends, and he said, you know, I'm just going to go and stay in the holy dham. And he said, well, it says in the scriptures that sleeping in the holy dham is the same as what? Offering obeisances. And all food is mahaprasadam in the holy dham. I'm not denying that. Or watching the Ganges is, you know, sitting on your balcony watching the Ganges flow by. I mean, the Ganges is pure devotee of Krishna and worshiping Krishna. What's wrong with that? The problem is our minds will not be controlled. That's the problem. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the activity itself, but there's something wrong with us, because we have attraction for the material energy. We're not on the platform of Nishto. We may not be on the, certainly not on the platform of Shakti, or Baba, or what to speak of Prema. So we need to take responsibility. That may sound, I mean, people may not like that. Something, and that's why the deity worship is essential in the temple. I mean, let's say if we didn't have the deity worship in the temple, it would be practically a joint mess, you know, with everybody running around, you know, what are you cooking today? Well, maybe lunch will be finished at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We're going to make, you know, mushrooms with pizza sauce or whatever. Nothing wrong with that. But I mean, when you have a standard, the deities have to be dressed. It doesn't matter how you feel. You may feel miserable as anything, but you're going to do it. And you push through it. And I've seen that in my own life, you know, because I'm not doing so much deity worship. You just push through it, because the body is going to give, body, mind, other living entities are going to give you so much problems, so much problems. So anyway, so instead of going to Mount Athos, going back to this verse, and rejecting, and instead of treating, you know, women like agents of Maya, like I guess Radha Damodar Party did to a certain extent, we just remain, and we don't have time for Maya. There's like Haridas Thakur. Of course, he was always absorbed in Krishna. But the reason he gave as an excuse for not
consorting with the prostitute was, I got to finish my rounds. I've taken a vow to chant 3 lakhs of names a day. So the fortunate prostitute had to wait. And she waited, and she waited, and eventually she became Krishna conscious because she was waiting. But the point I'm making is that Haridas Thakur's excuse was actually a lesson for us. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur incidentally said about his disciples who stay at the temple all the time that they should be chanting 64 rounds. I'm not saying that we're going to impose that standard. The point was otherwise, and Prabhupada did comment sometimes about certain temples where, not in ISKCON, but certain temples where there were so much people just like lying around. Prabhupada called it a joint mess. Of course, joint mess can mean several different things. It means where people eat food together. A mess can also mean like in the army or navy or something like that. But so we should make sure, the main point is we should make sure that we're engaged so much that, another example Prabhupada gave, so many examples coming to mind, like the glass of milk. You fill the glass of milk all the way up, there's no room for ink. I don't know why Prabhupada used that example. Why would you put ink in a glass? But Prabhupada made the example, when the glass is full, there's no room for anything else. So we have to do that with our lives. And I'm personally very happy that I have all these responsibilities. And, sometimes my mind tells me, wow, Govardhan, here I come, right back where I started from. So tells me I should just go to Govardhan. I have enough people who could support me. I could live at Govardhan. I have a houses at Govardhan. But then I'm thinking it just wouldn't be healthy for me. And it wouldn't be good for Prabhupada's mission or the Krishna consciousness movement to do that. I mean, there's so many reasons. And it wouldn't be a good example for other people. Even if I could maintain myself just chanting Hare Krishna 24 hours a day at Govardhan, even though my mind is attracted to it. But Prabhupada's example is work now and samadhi later. So we should guide our lives in such a way that we are 24 hours absorbed in Krishna service. That's my realization from yesterday, and that's the way we should deal with this attraction that's described here in this purport and verse. So any questions or comments? Questions, comments, problems, issues? Yeah.
If you compare responsibility and accountability.
Yes.
Some people embrace the responsibility at a very personal level, and others promote themselves through that responsibility.
Promote
themselves because they have a position.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
accountability follows that.
The point is we're servants. Whatever position, whatever responsibility we have, it's a service that we're servants. Jivera Surupa Hoy Nitya Krishna Das, Gopi Bharata Padakamala, Dasa Dasa, Dasanu Das, we're servants of a servant of a servant. If you forget you're a servant, you're a cower and ass, basically. You think you're a master. But we shouldn't be using our particular responsibility to promote ourselves or to lord it over others. We should always remember that our business is to serve others. But the whole point I'm making is to be fully engaged in Krishna's service. I mean, even if your responsibility is anything, I mean, it's all equal. Like Prabhupada, I was listening to a class, and Prabhupada said that we should not think that the person who cleans the toilets is any less than the person who dresses the deities. Because it's Krishna's temple, Mandira Marjanadu. So it's good for us to do some humble service. That actually keeps us in the right consciousness. In addition to, taking responsibility for exalted service, let's say one is a guru or something like that. It's good we just get down on our hands and knees and scrub the floor sometimes. It's good for the soul. You understand? That keeps us humble. Yeah, because you're right. Actually, responsibility, sometimes having a position can be a cause of anarthas, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's the fourth cause of the anarthas. The others are being you know, offenses, pious activities, or sinful activities. So we have to be careful, you know, of that. It's a good question. Yes?
Yeah, I'm feeling what you're saying, too, about you mentioning the cows. You have a cow, you have kids, you have a full-time job.
Yeah.
You're like a sodomite, and you're full up.
It's great.
It's great. And I was just also thinking, like, in addition, along with that, that verse, the Yare Deka Tari Taha
Krishnupadesh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, while you're looking at the cows, hopefully you got someone there too. And then you're talking about Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavad Gita.
Great.
And the verse after that one, look at Gandhi says, your materialistic way of life will not hinder your progress.
Good point. That's a very good point. If we, whatever our occupation, we should all, you know, that's the main thing, the main reason is just trying to give others Krishna. And while you're milking the cows, you can tell people about this, the star. You know that whole joke that they do with the cows?
Yeah.
You know, there's a star in the teeth of the cow. You want to see it? And then you take it and you squirt them in the face. You know that joke. I used to milk cows. It was nice. I mean, we had a cow here. Her name was Deviani. And every morning, what happened is the person who was supposed to milk her didn't show up, so I had to do it. And I didn't know what I was doing. And she wouldn't give me the milk. Yeah, I didn't. The first time I did it, nobody was there to tell me how to do it. So I had to learn on the job, and I did.
And the good thing about cows and also kids,
yeah,
is that like when they get hungry or they don't have water, they start mooing and saying stuff. So you get all these people coming at you. They all come at the time of the evening.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, really,
that's why it's good for grahasthas to have children, because they engage you in service. I mean, Prabhupada said that's the whole point of grahastha life, is having children, taking care of children, bringing them up in Krishna consciousness. And it keeps the mind focused. I mean, one may get a little crazy sometimes, but at least you're kept on the straight and narrow path by having responsibility. Now, that's my secret for staying out of Maya. Having cows, children, or disciples, one of the three, or taking care of the deities, but having a responsibility, not just being someone who takes care of the deities from time to time, but having a responsibility. Does that make sense? Something you have to show up for, something you're responsible to other people or other animals for. I'm really thankful that Krishna is giving us. And that's what the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra is. Please engage me in service. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we see Prabhupada, he was practicing on a marathon all the time, 24 hours a day. He's still very regulated. He's regulated, you know, Prabhupada, get up. You know, I remember in Mexico City, when Prabhupada came to Mexico City, you know, all the devotees were up late at night having a program at Cuernavaca, which is right outside, a beautiful place right outside of Mexico City. I mean, it's a place with flowers and everything. And they got back at about midnight, and nobody got up for Mangalarti, and Prabhupada was really angry. He was really angry, because Prabhupada was the only one who showed up. And Prabhupada was up every morning, because Prabhupada had that responsibility. I got to work, like, a little water wears away the stone. So I got, Prabhupada was thinking, I got to work on my translation of Bhagavatam and get it done before I leave this world. I mean, that was, Prabhupada knew that he had limited time. Okay. On that happy note, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.